You're listening to the ministry of Potter's House Church, Wandsworth, a Christian Pentecostal church based in South London, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our call is to reach the lost, make disciples, and plant churches. For more information on who we are and what we do, visit us at phcwandsworth.co.uk.
About the whole series has been about healthy relationships, having healthy relationships. And the first thing we dealt with was the heart. Having a healthy heart is going to enable you to have healthy relationships. The second thing that we looked at is being a healthy person, or even now that your heart is healthy, you look for someone who's healthy. How many know we don't want to marry no sociopaths? Amen. And so we spoke about that, and then we spoke about healthy courtship. We was kind of playing on words a bit, but we were saying, you know what, let's do away with just dating. Let's enter into courtship, something which is a bit more serious. And I want to preach a sermon about having a healthy wedding. And then next one I'm going to do is healthy marriage, and then we'll have healthy family, and we're done. By then, if you can't have a good relationship, then I don't know, maybe you need to get the sermons. Listen to them again, or get them in Braille, feel them, or do something. Matthew 7:24. Before I read the text, many years ago when I was growing up, I remember there was a campaign, and what it was a campaign about people buying pets. And what was happening is at Christmas time, people would be buying like little puppies and these pets, and maybe people would be buying them for their children, or maybe for a family member. And so they're buying these puppies. How many know when you see a puppy is something, you know, no matter if it's a puppy Rottweiler or a puppy Alsatian or a puppy German Shepherd, whatever these dogs are, puppy Pitbull. How many know puppies look kind of nice? Every dog looks nice when it's a puppy, when it's tiny. And so, you know, people are giving people puppies at Christmas time. But how many know that puppy's going to grow into a full-sized dog? And so you give someone a puppy at Christmas time, but what they found was 6 months into the year, or maybe 2 months, 3 months into the year, these dogs are being abandoned. These dogs are ending up at Battersea Dogs Home. And so people buy this gift for their kid. You know, are you going to look after this, Johnny? Yes. Are you going to walk it? Yes. Are you going to clean? Yes, I'll do everything. And so the puppy is bought, and what happens is, once the puppy's you need to take responsibility for it. It's not being dealt with. And so, down the road, 6 months, the puppies are being abandoned. This is the campaign they came out with. So at Christmas time, they would say this, that a dog is for life, not for Christmas, not just for Christmas. They would say a dog is for life. Don't just buy a dog at Christmas time, thinking that, you know, I'm just going to buy this dog at Christmas time, but you're not thinking about, you know, this is for life. Well, I want to kind of use that same sentiment and say this, is that marriage, or should I say a wedding, is one day, but marriage is for life. A wedding is just for one day, but a marriage is for life. And we want to speak about having a healthy wedding. So if you're married here today, you're gonna kind of get a day off. So you can relax. And if you're single, this is going to be for you. Amen. But if you're married, you can still take some notes. Matthew 7, verse 24. The Bible says, therefore, whoever hears these saying of mine and does them, I will liken him unto a wise man who built his house upon the rock. And the rains descended, and the flood came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. And it did not fall, for it was founded on a rock. So he speaks about this house that's built upon a rock. A firm foundation, and he says that the wind came against it, but it stayed. It didn't get blown down. Then he goes on in verse 26. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the wind blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. I want us to pray. Father, We come before you once again. We need your grace, your mercy. I pray that you would speak to us today. We pray, Heavenly Father, that we would receive wisdom from you. Father, be magnified in this place. Save those that need saving. We ask you this, and most of all, we pray that Jesus would be magnified. And all God's people said, and the real church said, amen. And so, this text really speaks about, it's not just good enough. If you want to build a house, you want to build a home. How many know that's where we're going to live, a home? All of us want a nice home. We want to be in a home. We want a family. We want a base, somewhere where we can go to where there is peace and quiet, and we can just do what we kind of want within reason, and that's our home. And the Bible says here about building a home. When a man is building a house, he needs to not just think about the construct of the house, but he needs to think about what foundation is he building it upon. Not just what everybody sees, but what is it actually placed upon. See, many times is that when you're building a relationship, when you want to build a good marriage, sometimes people just focus on the wedding. But they're actually not thinking about, what about the quality of the marriage? I was looking at the average cost of weddings nowadays. I went on this bride wedding website magazine. And so it says, these are the average costs. Now remember, this is the average. This is not expensive. This is the average. And so the wedding venue is about £3,000. The reception venue. So the wedding venue, that's just where you get married. So thank God you get married here, because we don't charge you for that. Praise God. When I saw that, I was like, wow, chicken. Yeah, maybe we could. no, I'm only joking. The reception venue, £4,000. Catering, £4,000. Photography and video, £1,000. Flowers, £600. Cake, £300. Entertainment, £773. Entertainment. Listen, if you need someone to rap, I'm available, you know. The dress, £1,300. Have you noticed? No women went, wow. They were like, yeah, you need to recognize. Shoes. I don't know whose shoes these are, but it says shoes, £1,600. Stationery. Sorry, £161. Do apologize. Yeah. Stationery, £271. Headdress, veil, £138. Mother of the bride's outfit. Praise God, she's in there. £349. Groom's outfit, £439. Beauty, £301. Engagement ring, £3,000. So some ladies were licking their lips then. The wedding rings, £800. Other wedding jewelry, £176. Honeymoon, £4,400. And it's got gift list, £2,400. Basically, when you all add it up, they said the average cost of the average wedding is going to be £30,000. Listen, there are some brothers in this place right now. I said, listen, I'm going to be single for a while. £30,000. Now, I want you to notice. I looked up what is the average length of the of a marriage in this country. The average length of a marriage in this country is about 10 years. That's the average, 10 years. So really, that's like $3,000 a year. $30,000 divided by 10, $3,000 a year. That's what it's costing people, $3,000 a year. Now, in 2004, I was married. Ain't no joke. Yeah. Look at those trousers. Can't touch this. Dun, 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 dun. Can't touch this. Hey, that was okay back in 2004. So If you were hating on me, man, skinny jeans weren't invented yet, and I wouldn't wear them anyway. But you can't really see from there, but you know, I look like a little boy, but Francis still looks the same. Amen. And have we got another picture? Getting down, man. I was like, yeah, she's mine now. 2004, we got married, and our wedding cost £3,000. £3,000. That's what our wedding cost. That was everything. £3,000. I want you to think about this. Now, if we do the maths, we said that the average marriage lasts 10 years, and the average, they say that the average wedding costs £30,000. So that means, on an average, my marriage, if it was, if money made the difference, my marriage should have lasted a year. But we're going on 13 years. Happily married. We were engaged for 3 months. 3 months we got engaged. We were dating for about a year and a bit, year and a half, I think. And then I said, you know what? I don't want to muck about here, man. Listen, when you got a good thing, you better hold on to it. And so within 3 months, we were, from the moment I put the ring on, within 3 months, I'm like, I did, you're mine. How could we spend so little and be married for so long? How can we spend so little and be married for so long? So many times when I tell people, I remember even in this church, I've told people we got married for 3,000. They look at me like I stepped off a spaceship. They're like, what? What kind of crazy madness is that? But can I tell you that we've already outlasted the average? My marriage is not an average marriage. The reason why we was able to spend so little and be married for so long is that we was not focused on the wedding, we was focused on the marriage. We wasn't focused on the wedding. See, too many times what people are focused on is they focus on the wedding, but they're not focused on the marriage. So you spend, we didn't really care so much about all what we was going to do on the wedding day. What we were thinking about is the marriage. When we bought our rings were both silver rings. Our rings cost us like £20 when we got married. My wife had a silver ring. I've still got mine. This is a silver, it's not white gold. When we got married, Pastor Pete was like, he did my ceremony. He was like, this is white gold. White gold ring, he goes, signifies eternity, because it never ends like marriage. And gold, and I was thinking, hey, it's not gold, it's silver. But, you know, no one was thinking anybody would dare get married with a silver ring. My wife's ring was silver. Obviously, she got an upgrade later on. Amen. You know, I have to hook her up. She gets a ring. I get a nice watch. Amen. But listen. The reality is this. Is that we didn't focus in on the wedding. We was focused on the marriage. We realized that, you know what? We need to build. This wedding thing can become a distraction. But we need to realize, you know what? The marriage is more important. See, the world today, it focuses on the wrong thing. And many times people's focus are in the wrong place. They focus on the relationship. And where relationships become a distraction from life. You know, a relationship, when you meet someone, the purpose from that God put us together is that the Bible says that God sees Adam and he says, Adam, you're alone, it's not good. Bro, what are you doing with yourself alone? No, I can't leave you alone, I need to make a woman. God makes a woman. Adam is male, she is female. They come together, they're fruitful. God shows us that his design for when you have a relationship is that your relationship should produce more than what you can produce alone. That when you meet somebody, that it's not just you've met them and now you're distracted from life, you can't do life, And that's what the world tells us. Oh, I'm so in love with you, I can't go to work. I'm so in love with you, I can't focus. I'm so in love with you, I can't do exams. Listen, that's not productive. You've become distracted from the relationship. It's sad when you see people come together, but then they're less than they was when they were single. There was more productive single. That is a sign that maybe that relationship is not right for you, or it's not right for you right now. That if you're not more productive together, it's sad when you see someone, especially as Christians, when you see people that are Christians serving God, loving God, going for God, as soon as they start dating, they fall off a shape. As soon as they start dating, they're no longer what they were. It's even worse, they get married. And before they were married, they were functioning for God. They were in ministry. They were doing things. Now they get married, it's like they've disappeared. It's like you never see them. There's nothing going on. I want to say to you is that when I got married, and when Francis got married, when we married one another, our ministries actually amplified. I became way more fruitful now that I'm a married man. I'm way more effective for God now that I have her in my corner than I was just as a single man. See, in our text, he speaks about people that are building, but they're building on sand. He says, everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them, he will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And we understand that Jesus is speaking about his words, and if you live by his words, but what I want to pull out of the text is that he says that there's something, this is very foolish when people build, but they're not actually looking at what they're building on. They're distracted by looking at the building and the plans and the planning of this construct, but ignoring the foundation. There are three ways I see that the world is going to try to distract you. With relationships, and specifically with a wedding, people get distracted. First one is they get distracted from working on the relationship. They're no longer working on the relationship. This is when people, they get so caught up in marriage that they don't deal with the problems in the relationship anymore. They just want to get married. Once we get married, it'll all be fixed. They think once this goes on, he's going to change. Prince Charming. Once this goes on, she's just going to be the woman of God. All of this nagging, all the arguing, listen, it won't change. All it is she's the same person wearing the ring you bought. That's it. She's now the same person. And so what people do is they see things when they're dating and it's like, should we deal with this issue? No, let's just get engaged. And when we get married, we'll sort it out. And you can sort things out. And you will sort things out, and they'll never be perfect. But some things are a lot easier to sort out when you are dating than after you get married. See, if the foundations are wrong and you start building a house, you move into that house, and then you want to change then you want to fix a foundation problem, you know what many times you're going to have to do? You're going to have to take down a wall. You're going to have to move into one of the rooms of the house and then destroy some parts of the house so you can get to the foundation. It becomes way more inconvenient when you don't do things the right way. This is why people sometimes, they get engaged, and then they're still trying to fix some stuff, and so they're engaged. You say, when are you getting married? And they're like, oh, well, you know, they set a date, and then the date goes back again another 6 months because they haven't fixed anything, and then going back, and before you know it, you're dating forever. You're engaged forever. Because somehow you thought, once we set a date, things will fall into place. Don't let the wedding distract you from fixing problems. If there's problems, you've got to fix it now. You've got to be honest with yourself now. Deal with it now. Bring it up now. You know some people, they're scared to bring it up now, because what if I bring it up now, and then I don't like what I see? What if I talk about this, and they pull out? Well, then you're even more deluded that you're going to enter into something with somebody and then later on find out that really it's not the person you thought. Remember this. This is the truth of all truth. You cannot lose what you never had. You cannot lose what you've never owned. If through further investigation, you find out that that person is actually not for you or really loves you, then you've only found out truth. You need to find it out now before you spend your £30,000 and don't even make it 10 years. Second way that a wedding distracts people, it distracts them from the task of just loving the other person. Some people, to them, once wedding, they get into that marriage zone. So here's a woman and here's a guy. And so once the ring goes on, the guy is now just an accessory. You're just an accessory that you're going to, so that it enables me to fulfill this destiny I've had since I was a little girl. Not me, obviously, but you have to have to be straight now. That people never know. But that's what it is. Well, since she was a little girl, she's thinking about coming down the aisle in that dress. She's thinking about that big day. She's thinking about after the wedding, the confetti they throw, and the horse and cart, and you get in with the dress and the pictures. And so that is what she's focused on more than the person there that she's actually getting married. That person has become just an accessory. You know what an accessory is? Like an iPhone case. It's just an accessory. It's all about the day. It's all about how I'm going to look. And you no longer are working on loving that individual. Rather than loving the individual, you're thinking more about impressing other people. Can I say to you today, if you're, I don't know, a millionaire, you've got loads of money, then you know what? There's nothing wrong with spending money on a wedding. Have the best wedding you can afford, and you know what? Fly in over Winstanley, parachute out, come down, and you know, take off your tuxedo. And, you know, do everything, because if that's what you've got. But can I tell you this? If you haven't got that type of money, don't get into debt trying to impress other people. Don't try and impress us. Listen. Come on, we all know where we all live. Come on, man. Let's keep it real. You know, sometimes people that, you know, on Instagram, like they're in Beverly Hills. You're in Winstanley. We know where you live. Listen, we know where you live. I mean, don't try. You're not a Kardashian. You're not. And so what happens is people are watching these Kardashians and I don't know who else they're watching. And then you want to replicate this carnal lifestyle, this rich lifestyle. I'm not hating on them. Anybody that does anything perverted, I don't like. But I'm not hating on anybody. But what I'm saying is, like I said in the beginning, if you've got the money, do it. But if you don't have the money, don't get into debt trying to impress people. But you're not actually working on loving the person you're going to be married to. You turn into Bridezilla. Listen, I've seen some Bridezillas. I'm not going to say in this church or another church, but I'm just going to say I've seen some Bridezillas. And now, because you know what, you was a good Christian girl. As soon as that ring went on, it's a different story. Now you want, well, we're going to have our wedding there. And here, there. Listen, don't show off. Don't use your wedding to show off that you're insecure. Don't use your wedding to you know, I'm insecure. Like I said, if you've got the money, you use it. The worst thing is for you to get into debt, to land the plane when you come back from your honeymoon. You're nice and tanned, and you've landed the plane, and now you owe £30,000. It's ridiculous. Because I'm telling you now, one of the biggest stress factors in marriage is money. You ask any married person in this church, they don't have to tell you their personal business, but just say, can money issues be a stress factor in marriage? And they'll just smile at you. And you'll know that's a yes. And so, for you to have a good marriage, it's better to have a nice, economical wedding and have a good marriage than have a show-off wedding and a stressful marriage. Remember, a wedding is one day. A marriage is for life. Don't try to outdo other people. She had four tears. You're like, I don't care what this cake is, but it better have five. Her weave was down to here, so you're... James 4, verse 10. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. Let God lift you up. Let God lift you up. God will lift you up. We're not saying don't have a nice day. Do what you can with what you've got. But be wise. Don't get distracted by the wedding. You're not really loving the other person. Last thing that people get distracted from, they get distracted from God. Many times when people are getting married, now I'm talking about Christian people here. Obviously, unsaved people, they don't care about God. But I'm talking about Christian people here. Once they get in there planning their wedding, they get distracted from God. They will start to, their prayer life, their Bible reading, their commitment to the house of God, things start to go down because of a wedding. And almost sometimes in ministry, can I tell you, this church has been guilty of that. Because sometimes I'll be like, hey, is so-and-so doing that? Because that's their ministry, pastor, they're planning their wedding. Oh, sorry, let's shut down the church for a few months. Let's, you know what, let's shut down the church. Let's text the devil. Devil, can you stop tempting people for a few months? Can you stop taking people to hell for eternity for a few months? Because so-and-so's getting married. Where do you... See, if you have convictions, you need to stick to those convictions. Sometimes what people will do is they will do things in a wedding they would never do in any other scenario or situation. Brides, they will wear dresses they would never wear, revealing parts of their body they would never reveal. But because it's a wedding, it's fine. Bridesmaids that look like their dress was sprayed on. In the house of God, this is the house of God. You're going to get married in the house of God. You don't get married in a nightclub. And the thing about it is, these are people, they would never do this in any, if you had a fellowship, hey, we're going to have a fellowship Friday, and you turn up just like this, what? Well, it's a wedding. Oh, well, it's a wedding. Because we're distracted from our commitments and our relationship with God. Things that we wouldn't do, playing music that we would never listen to or endorse. People are drinking and all types of things that people are allowed to do at a wedding. Now, if we asked you, usually you would say, no, I would never invite people around my house and just do that. But because it's a wedding, worst thing people say, well, it's tradition now. It's a traditional. See, I've looked in my Bible, there is no traditional, there's spiritual. Distracted from God. And many times, you know why? It's because not so much that you or I would be actually, we believe it, but we feel manipulated to do it by family and friends. There comes a point as a Christian, you have to stand up for what you believe in. If you don't believe in these standards or any type of, that's fine. You don't believe in it, that's fine. Whatever you believe, you believe. But if you believe it, you better stand up for what you believe. People that do not stand up for what they believe, they're wishy-washy. Matthew 10, verse 37. He who loves father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take up his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. Many times I've told people that the reason why I've been able to see my family saved, and encouraged and strengthened in the Lord is that I've stuck to what I believe in. For 21 years, what I've said is what they've seen in my life for 21 years. I don't talk one thing, and then when they disagree with me, I'm like, oh, okay, well, no, all right, no, no, okay, whatever you want. No, 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 this is what I'm doing. If you don't like it, you don't like it, but this is what the Bible says. And I must do what the Bible says, because I will stand before my Maker. And I'm not going to be distracted by a wedding from God. Because a wedding is for a day. Marriage is for life. Heaven and hell is for eternity. A wedding, let me close with this. A wedding is a celebration. But the wedding is not real life. Real life starts after the wedding. And so I would say to anybody here, have the best wedding you can. Do the best with what you've got. Have a wonderful time. Invite friends and family to celebrate that day. A wedding is something glorious. We've got a wedding very soon. And we're excited about that. We love weddings in this church. And hopefully we have a few more this year. Not announced yet, but who knows? But can I tell you, it's not real life. Don't focus everything on that. Focus on building a good marriage more than an impressive wedding. You know, when people go to a football match and they leave, I've never seen the team that lost that they're celebrating. I've never seen, oh, yeah, celebrate. No, no, no. The team that wins celebrates. See, the celebration is birthed out of the victory. Something has happened, and so now there's a celebration. If you saw people that without no purpose, they're celebrating, and there's no purpose, you'd be like, huh? Why are you celebrating? I don't know, I'm just celebrating. You'd be like, there's something not right here. Because we understand that celebrating without purpose is weird. If you're celebrating, it has to be the purpose is what brings the celebration. Remember what we said, a wedding is a celebration. And we're saying to celebrate without the purpose is weird. And so what is the celebration of a wedding for? What is its purpose? And its purpose is that two people come together and they're willing to enter into a covenant of love. Not a contract. Contracts, you can renegotiate contracts, you can break contracts, you can be like, well, no, I just want to get out of my contract now. No, no. Marriage is not a contract. Marriage is a covenant. This is a Bible word. The Bible word covenant would be made with blood. The Bible word covenant, what it says is, it's not broken till one of us die. Because it's a covenant. This is why we say in the vows, till death do us part. And this is the celebration that two people will come and they say, you know what, I have a love for you and you have a love for me. We're going to enter into covenant together. This is covenant love. This is very rare. This is rare to find someone that will love you so much that even if you go through poverty, they're going to stick with you. Listen, guys, if you're here, you're making money, you look good, you got your Gucci belt. Yeah, you may be able to get some ladies and hanging on your arm and you're trendy and you're healthy and everything. Everything is going well for you right now. You could dress slick. Yeah, everything is going well. Yeah, so women are attracted to you. But what when you're broke? When you got one pair of jeans, one shoes, one socks, one underpants, keep washing them every night, hang them up. What if you go through poverty? Then we're going to see how many ladies want to call you. WhatsApping you. Take pictures of yourself with those one pair of jeans and those one shoes and put it on your Instagram page and see how many likes you get. See, when you're with your Gucci belt, oh, like. One shoes. I'm like, hey, isn't that the same image from yesterday?
No,
it's a new day. I'm just wearing the same thing. See, some of you know, you because if you're wearing the same thing, you won't take a picture. No, I wore it. When did I wear that last time? You're flicking up. When did I wear that last time? Oh, quickly. Okay, I haven't worn it in a month yet. Like, I got loads of clothes. In sickness and in health, we celebrate that two people come together, that they're loved. This is a covenant of love. If you're poor, I'll stick with you. If you have to live in a bedsit, I'll stick with you. If you have to, whatever we go through, I'm going to stick with you. If we have to sleep in one room with shared family, I'll stick with you because I love you. That is what we're celebrating. We're not excited about the cake. We're not excited about the dress. We're not excited about the hall and the food. We're excited that we see two people that have entered into a covenant of love. We're like, wow, this is rare. That no matter how sick, see, listen, ladies, right now, you've done yourself up. You've got your lipstick, your eyelashes, your nails. Those brows are sharp, like a ruler. You contouring. Yeah. See, I know, man. I got a wife. I know about them thing there. Look at my cheekbones. Hey, cheekbones. That's just that lipstick, man. That's makeup. And so you look good right now. But what if you get sick? God forbid, what if the doctor says, listen, we're going to have to remove some body parts? Is that brother still going to love you, man? Is that brother still with you? Is that brother, what if the doctor says, you'll never walk again, man? Is he going to push you around? Is that brother going to push you around in a wheelchair? Help you out of the car every day. Go shopping with you. Bring you to the church and pick you up. Look after the kids. Look after you. Is he going to do that? See, that's what a covenant of love is. If it's just a like, if it's just worldly love, if it's just lust, listen, after a while, I said, listen, I'm not feeling you, man. I didn't sign up for this. This is not what I signed up for. When I met you, it was a hot chicky babe. Yeah, when we took pictures on things, people were like, hey, bro, man, these are, yeah. You don't want to take pictures now. See, remember what I said, a celebration without purpose is stupid. People, yeah. What are you doing? Why are you doing that? No reason. It's stupid, it's weird. When you make a big thing out of a wedding, and you're investing in a wedding, but you haven't yet thought that this is a covenant of love. You are as stupid as that. And I know that's harsh language, but you got to get this. See, that is the foundation of a wedding. Is this love and friendship and honesty and kindness. And if you will build upon those things, and forgiveness. You know, to be married, it takes a lot of forgiveness. If you find it hard to forgive people, don't get married. Don't get married. Stay single. Because marriage takes a lot of forgiveness. Things happen. Marriages are violated sometimes. People make mistakes. Can you forgive? Do you look at this relationship? This is a covenant. See, I say this many times and I say it again. You know, we've had over 20 weddings, 30 weddings. I don't know exactly. We've had loads of weddings here and I love it. It's glorious. But I don't get excited. You know, I get excited. I get excited about anniversaries. That's what I get excited about. Anniversaries. Praise God, they're married another year. They're married. They've been married 2 years now. They've been married 3 years now. They've been married 4 years now. I'm looking forward to the day where your children, out of the marriages that have come, people have got married at this altar, that in 20 years' time, your children are being married at this altar. And you're still married.
our text, Jesus says that if you will build your life upon his word, that rains may descend, floods may come, winds may blow and beat against your house, but your house will not fall. Your house will not fall. You know, the misconception is, if I become a Christian, everything's just going to be sweet. Everything's going to be easy. No, that's the misconception. The Bible didn't promise that everything would be easy. Let me just insert this. This life will be easier than hell. That's true. Hell is eternal, and hell is torment upon torment. This is why Jesus says there is nothing worth losing your soul for. There's nothing worth going to hell for. We could give you £1 billion. It still wouldn't be worth going to hell for. Because it's eternal torment forever. But let's go back to this life. When you get saved, Jesus didn't promise that you would never have problems, that you would never have storms, that the rain and the wind would not beat against your house. What he said is this, is that when you obey my words, your house will not fall. Your house will not fall. The reason why I can be married for as long as I have, it's not because of me and Francis. It's not because of our strength. It's because of Jesus in us. It's that when we were getting married, we were more focused on him than us. We were more focused on our lives together in him than just that day. I was more concerned about God helping me to love this woman than what everybody thought about my MC Hammer suit. Francis was more concerned about being a woman of God and being led by the Spirit of God than just how much her dress was. That dress is so impressive. My wife's dress costs £100. £100. Now, listen, if we got married in, 1905, we'd be like, yeah. But it's just 13 years ago. Back then, most people that were getting married, their dresses were £1,000. The issue is this today. Let's focus on the foundation of marriage. Do the best you can with what you've got. And I'm telling you now, most of all, it's about Jesus. Are you building upon his word? Are you listening to his word today? Are you living for him today? My wedding is a celebration of what God has done, not just an exhibition of look at us. On the day that we got married, we had people come and they testified about God, what God had done in our lives. They didn't talk about how good we were. They talked about how good God was. And this is what kept us. I want every head bowed, every eye closed.
We hope you've been blessed, edified, and challenged by the sermon to reach the lost and make disciples. For more information on what we do and who we are, visit us at phcwandsworth.co.uk.